Time, Studio A.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host. Sorry for the delay, distracted by updating stories. I'm going to be joined today by Brian Davidson, who has so much to say to contribute to all of these issues. Brian is a brilliant guy. Private investigator from Texas. He has joined me in many events, including the exploration of the Topps grocery store shooting in Buffalo, what happened at Uvalde, and Nashville especially, where he did completely brilliant work. And we were talking about one false flag after another, embarrassing, astonishingly bad. I'll bring him in here momentarily. I want to begin with what happened that Zelensky is frantic, that it appears the end is near. Let me get Brian to join here. And we'll do our thing. Please join Zoom. Let me. Okay. Ryan, please do try again. Why did I ever fuck it up? Here we go. Right. Brian, let me see. Yes, here.
I don't know how to respond.
Brian, are you there? Brian, can you hear me? Are you there? Wow. Brian.
I got to restart the computer, Jim. I don't know whose show this is.
I can hear you now. I can hear you now, Brian.
Yeah, I got to restart the computer. I've been doing big projects and my computer's out of memory.
Okay.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So you will be back. Okay. Keith, you joining me here? You're noticing that I had a bad start. Tell me more.
You had a bad start?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Brian, I began late. You know,
I got to restart my computer, Jim. I got to come back in.
Okay,
I'm not gonna have any video.
Okay, go ahead. Do it. Do it.
Jim?
Yeah.
Sure.
Brian? Well, I'm eager to have Brian's thoughts about the stories I want to begin with. But let's begin here. Zelensky is frantic. Let me start this. Here we go.
Recording in progress.
Okay, welcome everyone to a late start for the Raw Deal. This is Jim Fetzer, your host. I'm going to be joined by Brian Davidson shortly, who had to restart his computer. I want to give him the story of Ukraine. Zelensky is frantic. Sudden changes indicate the end is near. We know that in the past, Adolf Hitler, when he was facing imminent defeat at the hands of the Allied powers, those who watched a film about him, the film Downfall, about the end of World War II, know that Hitler was frantic during those final days of the war and acted erratically, issuing conflicting orders and more. What's reportedly going on in Zelensky's inner circle feels a lot like the events chronicled in Downfall. Beset by the Russians on all sides, Zelensky is frantic, firing his aides left and right. Not the behavior of someone who is winning a war. It is frantic behavior from someone increasingly cornered in a precarious position. A cornered animal will do anything to survive. Here's what is currently being reported. Facing increasing opposition to his refusal to negotiate with Russia, Zelensky is firing more and more of his inner circle. No one is safe. Anyone who speaks out is removed. Aides are calling for elections, but Zelensky is refusing. Here we have the Globe and Mail. Zelensky fires more aides and reshuffle as Russia launches drones and missiles across Ukraine. This is not playing out well. It's what we would have expected. And as we know, Putin has now post-election taken the gloves off. Here's a story from the Post and Mail. Well, you got the gist of it. Meanwhile, here's a New York Post. Zelensky ousted two key staff aides Okay, let's see here. Hi, Brian. Yeah, Brian, are you there? Keith, yeah. Okay, Keith, yeah. Go. Listen, I'm trying to get Brian. This has been a... Here we go. I got him. Keith, did you want to add a comment here? Go ahead, or just...
I don't know if you saw the busload of those really...
Keith, listen, I got Brian here now. I'm going to bring you in or call back in when we do the...
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
The person you are trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message after the tone. When you have finished, please hang up.
Installed at the top of these governments are puppets and of the global government. So why would we see something break out in Moscow that looks so similar to false flags that we've seen here and in Europe and in Africa and in South America? I don't know, except the question arises in my mind, why don't we stop looking at them as independent nations making their own decisions and start taking a look at the global elite banking cartel money machine, sort of the top of the pyramid, sort of eye of Horus sitting up there that's, you know, deciding where and when these things are going to take place. Let me remind you of something that's very important. When September 11th took place, our budget for all of the agencies that make up our Department of Homeland Security was approximately $23 billion. Today, here we are 20 years later, we have a budget of $840 billion for those same agencies. So just think about the massive inflation of the security industrial complex as a result of that one false flag that continued to drive American fear and concern about this boogeyman, ISIS, and look at what it's done to our budgets. Where is all that money being sent? How spent? Where is it all going? Well, it's certainly not going to border protection. It's certainly not going to cyberstructure and infrastructure security. Our TSA is completely grown out of control. All of our defense mechanisms from a federal perspective have just simply out of control, bloated government budgets where there's certain people that are getting rich. And I suppose that those people are probably supporting the people that are making sure that those budgets continue to get authorized. I see false flags through the lens of this is a way to expand the security industrial complex and funnel money to the investors in those groups that are going to be getting those contracts. Those people then will support the politicians that they need to support and give a piece of the action back to the global elite security forces that are in place to pick up the pieces after a false flag takes place.
Keith Rogers, are you there? I welcome your comments here about the concert attack and what's going on with Ukraine, where things do appear to be falling apart. Your thoughts, Keith?
Oh, first of all, good morning there. I agree with everything Brian said there. I tried to comment earlier there the fact that all those young boys that are heading to the front lines over there, you can see the look of despair on their face. They know they're going to their certain deaths. It was just like, as you were bringing out there, that the fall of Germany, where Hitler's out there congratulating the youth there who are the being descended, you know, that fighting a two-front war. Well, Zelensky, as you mentioned, is losing, but it's worse than that there, because we see the despair with France right now with the what they're losing in Africa, which is all the resource minerals and stuff, Niger cutting the LNG gas off. And I mean, all wars are basically based on commerce. And as Brian was mentioning there earlier, hell, I remember when I was young, the national debt was only $850 billion. And then Reagan started his Contras wars. By the time he left office, it was $1.4 trillion. And now look at us today. And as Brian was mentioning, what do we have to show for it? Well, we have a bunch of painted LGBT crosswalks.
Yeah, stunning stuff. Glad to have you here, Keith. I have
another thought there, Jim. I was laying here last night thinking about these immigrants and stuff. And again, I have no problem with immigrants as long as they're legal. However, when you're running a program of depopulating the planet there with the WEF, we have Oregon State now, who is basically chomping down on the home gardens and small farms and all this stuff like that. The fact is here in the States, our growing season doesn't even start its planting for at least another 30 days. And when you have millions of immigrants coming up from the South, who's working all of that produce and stuff down there, which feeds the world with their growing climate, which down there is basically 12 hours a day? Who's working those fields to produce the food and stuff to feed the planet?
Brian, you care to comment?
I don't know. You know, the question is, do they have the capacity to be able to make the types of investments that they need into the machinery and the equipment that they would need to replace the people. And I don't know that that's even possible in an environment where the cartels have that much control. Basically, the cartel, look, you either give them what they want or your life is gone. So the fundamental problem down there is that there's not enough law and order to pause security, so you have to rely on cheap labor rather than heavy equipment and machinery to do the work. Where are they all going? They're obviously being forced up into the United States to dilute our culture, to dilute our population, and to basically continue to weaken the middle class. What's happening down there? Why do we have more agriculture workers than are needed when we've got such heavy equipment and machinery to work the fields? I'm not exactly sure, except they're doing a good job diluting the culture of the, and you mentioned the LGBTQ stuff. That's the same thing. It's a divided culture that they're after, and we divided, we will fall.
Well, I think we're the middle class
because we're the last bastion of hope in terms of our ability to continue to stand up and fight back against the global elite class. And yeah. I think that they're going to continue to attack us in terms of bringing in more imports and cheap goods and diluting the dollar and diluting our voting rights. So to me, it's more of a cultural takeover. Let's replace the older, more resistant cells that exist in America, and let's replace them with either young, government-sponsored minds that come out of the academic institutions that are easily controlled, easily shamed, and easily manipulated. Let's replace the older white classes with these younger, more slave-like populations, so that that global military order can take place.
As a piece I just published on my blog at jameshfetzer.org makes clear, the globalists want to make all of our societies homogeneous. They want there to be no national borders, that they're flooding our nation because they want to change the demographic permanently. I think they believe we're going to have, you know, kind of wind up all kind of a pale brown color. I mean, from a point of view of evolution, that could have been the inevitable result of evolution working over a very long period of time. But what they're doing is intervening from the outside to make it happen sooner. There may be good reasons to doubt it will be successful. One critic of whom has observed language is going to be a problem because these different groups are speaking different languages. We all know that there are areas of Miami, Little Havana, where you can be born and live your entire life and never speak a word of English. Brian, your thoughts?
Well, when it comes to language, I see more of an Orwellian approach to academia right now, where they're replacing all the words that had a stigma attached to them with some new word that doesn't have a stigma attached to them. But fundamentally, what they're doing is they're trying to create a society that has no shame, that's willing to do whatever it can, that's so weakened that it won't stand up, that it will beg government to come in and solve all of its problems. With no sin, no shame, no words that have shameful meaning or connotations, anything goes. And an anything goes culture ends up becoming a depraved culture, very similar to how the Romans kind of came apart from the inside out. It's a divide and conquer approach. The attack on language, very, very important for them so that we have a populace that's unable to make a decision about what's right and what's wrong. And if we can't tell what's right and what's wrong, what reason do we have or what platform do we have to come after these controllers? They're not doing anything wrong. They're just simply making suggestions. And without right and wrong, there's a massive division between the conservatives that lean back towards our historical roots and the liberals that try to look forward to destroying all of the old iconography related to our morals, our directions, our moral compasses. They want to replace that, destroy all that, sort of act as an iconoclast to the right and wrong, and then they can continue to push their shameful behavior. I see it as a way to break down and destroy society. I would go back to the protocols of the learned elders of Zion to take a look at exactly what the roadmap is for how it would take place.
Yes, yes. Many believe that's exactly right, Brian Keith.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you've seen these videos of the Chinese and or Venezuelans. There's more than Venezuelans in there. But anyway, and I've sent you the information about how the U.S. cut a deal with Venezuela to bring those immigrants up here. But they're using instant voice video, instant voice translation, where they can talk to the border guards in their own language, whether it be, albeit Chinese or whatever like that. And it's instantly translated so that the border guard knows exactly what the man said. And then the man talks, you know, the border guard talks back into the phone and it translates back to Chinese or whatever like that. They're getting a society that's so dependent on today's infrastructure of the internet or the internet of things. You can't even log on to your desktop without a stupid thing sending a text message to your cell phone. You are so connected to the web nowadays that there's no way to get away from it.
That's very, very interesting. So yeah, go ahead, Brian.
The web is so controlled by the globalist interests in terms of Wikipedia, yeah. Google, and other massive machines that use artificial intelligence to try to drive platforms. What it is a re-education campaign. The whole thing related to the internet is sort of a mainstream media re-education campaign designed to get everybody on the same page and to control the minds of people. For those that are capable of breaking loose, those that are still capable of critical thinking and independent thought, we can resist. But most people are just giving up. What they're doing is they're substituting information intake for critical thought, thinking that they're very intelligent. They become very defensive of their positions, unwilling to consider new positions. It's all psychological warfare. It's old school stuff. It's been around a long, long time. And I think they're being incredibly successful, especially with a youth that's so buried in their phones that they've forgotten what logical fallacies are and how they're supposed to work if they ever knew in the first place.
And I worry about the capacity for social interaction or even reading or, you know, interacting with other members of the community. We become little automata in our little tiny network, all connected by our cell phones. Seems to me the cell phone thing historically is going to turn out to have been one of the greatest, most consequential technological innovations of history, on a par with the Gutenberg press. But I'm not at all sure the consequences are going to be positive as it was in the case of its predecessor, Brian.
Well, the consequences are going to be devastating. If our youth cannot read Solzhenitsyn or anybody else that are one of the important critical philosophical thinkers, then they're not going to be capable of stretching out their minds long enough to resist. They're going to have to sit back and allow the television to continue to pollute their brains with the images and the thoughts and ideas that are being driven forward, including transgenderism and other evils that are out there. Now, I can tell you this, at the very top level of the global elite class, there is something that they want to happen. They want to see the incarnation of their new global world leader. They believe it's truly going to be Satan reincarnated if they can get the levels of evil in society to break through a certain threshold. Then they believe that that's going to usher in the incarnation of their new global world leader that's going to take over the whole, that's going to be able to unite the nations under a single flag.
Keith.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, wasn't it just recently on the show that you said that you didn't have time to read the entire article, and so you ran it through a summary type thing, and it basically gave you the point, you know?
However, that might be true, but it's really just a prioritization, because I've got three 2,000-page books right here on my desk that are all open to different chapters. So I put time in where I want to put time in, but I don't necessarily take the time to read every article out there on current events just because I have such a broad view of it. But thank you for the point. You're absolutely right.
The reason I'm saying that is because you remember in Noam Chomsky's Manufacturing Consent, one of the primary things he says is just like news articles, they'll start you out with a headline kicker, which is supposed to draw your attention, and then they give you all this garb all through the like that, but it's usually right at the very end is what you actually see what's going on. But they congest your mind and stuff with all the stupid facts and stuff like that, which they present as facts, you know. But when you want to get down to the nitty-gritty, it's always usually in the last sentence that is usually what is actually being said. But the rest of the stuff is, one is to gain your attention with the main headline, and then the other stuff is to just fill your head up with garb. And then the last part is what's really going on.
Yeah. Yeah, but who gets to the end of the article?
Yeah.
Well, listen, when we had the power shift, I want to discuss that before we turn to another really stunning issue related to right and wrong container ship dolly power failure. What happened? Updates from the NTSB. This is from the Daily Coast. Brian, this article is suggesting nothing to see here. Just move along. It was simply a power failure, nothing deliberate or contrived. Frankly, that is about as ridiculous as it gets, coming from the Daily Coast.
Well, I can tell you that what I foresee this summer breaking loose in Baltimore is going to be a hell like we haven't seen yet. They already have one of the highest murder rates per capita here in America. They're already a mess. This is basically their 6 mile, 610 loop, which would be, except it's a different freeway. So it's a big deal in terms of that bridge's capacity to continue to handle the transportation infrastructure in Baltimore. Seeing it down the way it came down was shocking.
Stand by. Hold that thought, Brian. We're in a...
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I guess we're back from the break, and Jim must be...
Yeah, grabbing a cup of coffee and late.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, continue about the container ship, Brian. You're making some excellent points.
Well, I don't... Look, I did make some points when I first, you know, emailed you about what I had seen. The point that I was making at the time was that, you know, down here... I come in and out of the ship channel all the time on my boat. I see these massive machines that are always coming in and out. It's like a Interstate 10 freeway going through the port of Houston. The boats basically come in south of Galveston, cut through Galveston Bay, and then go into the shipping channel underneath the Fred Hartman Bridge. Very tight area. But I have never, and I've had my boat down at the marina underneath that Fred Hartman Bridge now for 7 years, and I have never seen or heard of any type of accident related to any of these vessels out there on that water. Now, every now and then a small boat will have an accident or run into something, but I've always seen these large ships be completely under control. That boat looked to me like it was going a lot faster than it ought to be going, but I think we'll never really know what happened because the NTSB has come out and said, okay, There's some time on the black box that's missing. We don't know. There's 2 minutes that are missing that are critical. How did we lose three of these massive diesel engines that fast? I can tell you diesel engines, and I'm not sure if these are electric or diesel or what they are. I think that they're probably a combination of both, but for all three of them to go down in that instant and for that vessel to steer that direction into that dock is suspicious. But here's the problem. You'll never know. You've got Pete Buttigieg at the National Department of Transportation that's in place. He's a puppet. He's never going to be able to tell us anything about this one way or another. But what I was going back to my original point before the break was what you're going to see here in Baltimore this summer is going to be total chaos. There's going to be a transportation grid structural problem that's going to cut down your traffic, increase your problems. There's going to be that waterway is going to be cut off for a long, long time until the big cranes get in there and able to remove it. You're talking about a shortage of goods that are going to be able to come into the harbor. Plus, now you've got another transportation problem in that the big trucks are going to come in and have a trouble getting in and out. It's already that economy is already under a tremendous amount of stress, and this is going to make the matters even worse. It wouldn't surprise me if the event was darkly engineered to cause Baltimore to turn into a total chaotic hot mess this summer.
When you say we'll never know, what you mean is we'll never get an official acknowledgement from the government as to what actually happened. But I think we already can tell what did happen. It's called inference to the best explanation, which hypothesis, if it were true, would provide the highest probability in explaining the available evidence. The two hypotheses are it was contrived, made to happen, the alternative that it was merely an accidental power shortage. But when you look at the videos, especially when they're sped up, You see, the ship had to go way out of its way, had to change its course completely in order to steer right into that major support column. In other words, there's no way in which this was simply happening by, say, drifting off because the power had gone out. Number two, you had almost immediately a tweet from Ukraine claiming that this is what's going to happen if you don't keep that money coming. Without the money, you're going to have more of these incidents. Number three, you had the government, the Biden admin, immediately saying we're going to cover it all so the insurance doesn't have to, because insurance would require an investigation to allocate proportionality responsibility. So when you have these things happening too fast, you know something is terribly, terribly wrong. And then that feeds into the motivation, Brian, which you've so clearly delineated. This was a brilliant strategic move, as Laura Logan has observed, because of the catastrophic effects to the community, to transporting critical materials, hazardous materials, and the whole line. Is essentially shut down a major port on the east, just as had Long Beach been shut down on the west. Keith, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts were is what Laura had mentioned there, but I'm not fully on with the hacking thing there. But what I do see, though, is that we're, as Brian mentioned there, with the amount of commerce and stuff, and then it's been highlighted that the military, the Navy, whatever, that has their quick response vehicles, but it's all those ships that are upstream of that are tied in that can't move, and the ones down below that can't get into the harbor to unload. This to me is like Buttigieg, the first thing he should have done was reroute all those ships to different ports aside from that, and go to rail trucking or whatever like that to disperse that stuff. But I think it's more of a nefarious thing to shut down commerce to drive more inflation prices for food and stuff like that, especially since Janet Yellen keeps talking about inflation's here to stay. It's going to go up, and it's going to go up on a lot of other things like that. But the one thing I did notice, though, is when they were talking about the ship and how it kind of veered off, but then it looks like it came back towards the bridge, they were talking about currents. And yet later, when you see these up-close scenes of the inspection of the bridge, I don't see any currents around that bridge. It's just like it's still water. So I don't understand,
See, that's further confirmation that it was, in fact, a contrived, a deliberate event, because the explanations that are being offered have no merit. The alternative explanations, as you're suggesting here, fall apart upon inspections. Honestly, we can't know what happened. Of course, as with all scientific reasoning, it's never with certainty, and we're always open to revising our conclusion based on the acquisition of additional evidence or alternative hypotheses. But I frankly think it's beyond reasonable doubt that this was a deliberate hit on the United States. I strongly believe Ukraine was involved. This is a form of extortion. Yeah, we have it on the other end of the country with the Mexican president saying unless he gets hundreds of billions of dollars, he's going to keep the migrants flowing. And Keith, I never quite got your response to the observations I was making from the new blog at jameshfetzer.org. They're trying to, this is the globalist agenda, make all the populations homogeneous, destroy cultural identity, national sovereignty. That was beginning way back when they started taking down the statues in New Orleans. I saw it coming. This is an aspect of cultural Marxism. But in this case, really, the globalist attempt where even the UN and DHS appear to be all in on this. Your thoughts?
Well, I think, Jim, you have to go back. I think it's called Third State. Don't quote me on that, but Josh Hawley and a few others have brought this up, Senator John Kennedy, where they were talking about immigration. So say you're being oppressed, say, in Guyana. If you're being oppressed in Guyana and as you're asylum seeking, you're allowed to go to the next state. But this third state, why are they coming up here? And that was the main question from the Senate panel, about why are these immigrants all being allowed. And the reason that I thought of Mexico demanding more money is because Mexico is basically the holding center,
as more immigrants are catch and release and stuff, they're pushed back into Mexico and they're just being held there, that Mexico has to assume that debt of trying to pick up on their economy to probably feed or house or whatever like that. And so maybe this some general agreement, but I bet you 10 to 1, if you and I or Brian had access to the World Bank and stuff like that, you'd see how the money is being transferred to see who's being propped up in all these NGOs and stuff like that to take care of these immigrants, because it's not just something that just happens. All this has been planned out, just like that Jewish organization down there in Texas that was sitting there at the border, and you've seen the video. All these NGOs have got their own stake in it. So there's money going somewhere. And the point is, so if Mexico wants more money and stuff like that, is it for Mexico's infrastructure? No, it's probably to house all these. I mean, you've seen the rows and rows of these immigrants coming up. And again, like was brought out in a Senate meeting, that the DHS has their own special app that allows these immigrants to log on, even select their flights from their own home country to bypass U.S. immigration, borders, and customs at the border and fly directly into New York or wherever like that, you know.
Insanity, complete insanity.
Yeah, and it's all funded.
Destroy America, which, of course, is the agenda, and then it makes perfect sense, and it's rational and appropriate.
Yeah, when you look at it, the U.S. economy is failing. They're talking about now, I think it was Texas, that Texas is starting to talk about giving a $500 like per capita type check, which I use that word because of the tribal up here. But anyway, they're coming out with more UBI stuff to make up for payments. And then, of course, we got Governor Newsom down there wants to put up 500 of these security cameras, which is the same premise of ULEZ cameras over there in Britain, where everyone's going around sabotaging them. But it's just more of the surveillance state that Brian was talking about earlier, that they're trying to get all this under, and they're using a cloak of security and all this stuff. Same thing as 9/11 with Patriot Act and stuff, you know.
Yeah, let me get Brian back in here. He's in Texas. Your governor, Brian, has seemed to me to be among the only figures taking measures to try to stop the flow of immigrants. And on the other hand, you have it passing an anti-hate speech bill that is ridiculous beyond belief. Your thoughts?
I don't trust Abbott. I have never trusted Abbott. When I saw we had a false flag event take place here next to Houston, in a place called Santa Fe, Santa Fe High School. That was a few years back. And then we had another false flag take place at Sutherland Springs at the church. And we had the Dallas police fake shooting, you know, where the guy ran around like a military officer and then was supposedly killed by a bomb robot. And then we had Uvalde on top of it. Abbott is no dummy, and I can take a look at his body language and tell you nothing's right in terms of these events. How do you know? What do you see? You see the Uvalde strong advertising campaign starting the day after the event. You see the Santa Fe strong advertising campaign starting. And by the way, just so you know, in Baltimore, this ship crash happened at 1:28 a.m. The GoFundMes were already up the next morning at 8 a.m., and the Baltimore Strong was already going out across the radio waves that morning.
Nice.
So, you know, you've got, remember, 9/11 appeared to be a real event. It was an infrastructure takedown as well in many ways. It was designed to take down a portion of the infrastructure that drove spending that continued to expand security infrastructure and apparatus. One of the reasons that a lot of these false flags take place at schools is because the very next thing that'll happen as the events go through is that the legislation will be put in there to upgrade the security and rebuild all the schools. Now you've got Baltimore Bridge going down. Oh, our bridges are vulnerable. We need to rebuild our spending structure to take care of the bridges. Texas, to me, is just another show game. And I've seen independent reporting for people down there in the valley that are saying that if they went down to Eagle Pass, and of course it looked like there was some sort of big resistance taking place with Texas, and Texas was feeling real good about, hey, we're gonna, you know, we're resisting the feds, but at, you know, a mile away from each end of the fence where that was all taking place, the the border walls were completely wide open, not even in check in any way. So I think Texas is simply trying to have a show for its citizens, where in reality, we're stuck in the global game just as much as anybody else. And Greg Abbott's no different than any other governor any place. He's made a deal with the devil, in my opinion, that forces him to go along with whatever the globalists ask. And remember that every institution that we have requires money to continue to operate. And as it expands, it requires even more money. So you have to have a security state that's driving it. Now, right now, Texas and Greg Abbott, we rely on the feds for a tremendous amount of money, which then flows through the systems down to even the county and the local school structures. Until we can break loose from that, don't expect any independent spirit or independent thought from Texas whatsoever. The feds are pulling the strings and they're calling the shots, and Greg Abbott's no different. I just don't trust him, even though the show looks like he's one of the holdouts.
Keith.
Well, I saw two different things out of this whole thing. You know, when you mentioned the Ukraine side of it like that, we can go back to Victoria Nuland. Russia right now is taking out all the bridges along the Dnieper. However, when the Crimean bridge was struck twice, it seems like Russia got that bridge right open again. So why they're talking about extending this out maybe 5 years to replace this Boston bridge there. But now we run into another
Baltimore.
Baltimore. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. The Baltimore bridge like that. But a lot of this to me is just like the movie, The Sum of All Fears, where you have these eccentric neo-Nazis from Ukraine using an Israeli nuke to get Russia and the United States into a war. And it comes out to what? Baltimore. Remember, that's where the nuke was to go off.
That's right.
There's so much of this stuff that goes along with this Simpsons, you know, forecasting all this
programming
stuff.
Yeah.
So was that the so-called false flag like that? But I don't watch that much TV. I don't watch any TV. I just see clips, you know, it's on the internet like that, because I don't have a TV here. When you start looking at old videos and stuff and trying to keep the so-called back channel open with Russia, it does seem like you do have some sane people out there, whether albeit Larry Johnson or Scott Ritter or something like that, that are in some way trying to keep some dialogue going with Russia and stuff. And then we actually have Russia out there now with a verbal basic threat that if you put your troops and or F-16s in the area, they will be taken out. And now they're debating whether this is going to include Article 5 of NATO's treaty there. They've all been warned, and Putin's not kidding. And
NATO being the aggressor was not the original conception, you know, but that's what's happened. NATO has become the aggressor. So Russia has a right to defend itself, and NATO does not have the right to assault Russia.
Well, that brought up another question there, because everyone keeps talking about Turkey going in there to help out Gaza. And I thought,
Turkey was joining with Israel. I mean, it's very bizarre. What the hell?
Yeah, so again, though, here's an 805 again like that, so or Article 5. If Turkey was now being attacked, would the U.S. come in on behalf of that member? Everything it's so conglomerated, like they're squeezing everyone together like that to actually cause something to happen.
Yeah.
And now we have the Russian ships that are are in the Red Sea now. It just seems like they're getting ready for a spark and they're just waiting for something to ignite it, you know?
Yeah. Brian.
Well, it's always been speculated that Russia was the last remaining chess piece on the global world domination board that needed to go down. And the whole Minsk agreement scenario that, you know, where they were stabbed in the back supposedly by, you know, Nuland and the rest of the Minsk agreement team to buy time so that they could set up the war down in Ukraine, which would further weaken Russia, was designed to basically remove that final global chess piece. The problem began to arise in Ukraine when China, India, and others began to sympathize with Putin and with Russian resistance to U.S. hegemony. So I think it's very important to remember that the global power play is very much taking place in front of us. And look, if I want to control somebody, the only guy that I can't control is a guy that has a righteous indignation or a righteous character or a righteous spirit. Tell me how many of those continue to exist where righteousness is more important than money. When you can print from the global supply of money like the international banking cartel can do, you can buy anybody out there who's controlled by carrots. Now, the sticks are very simple. That old operation is a Mossad operation. It's been around for a long, long time. The Epstein-style operation of let's make sure that these people are brought through our system of leadership, which takes them to very exclusive parties so that we can get very exclusive video, and then they'll go along with whatever we tell. We'll install them into position. They'll continue to do their thing until the day we come in and call in our favor. You could say the same thing about Erdogan in Turkey. I mean, Erdogan he appeared to be just as much a tyrant as anybody else for a long period of time in terms of some of the people that he was going after in his own area. But now all of a sudden, Erdogan's changing. He originally was hugely sympathetic with the Palestinians, usually hugely sympathetic with the local militia forces that were beginning to fight along with Israel. And now all of a sudden we have a 360 or 180 degree turn. So the question is, what deal was struck, where, why, when, and how, and how much money was at stake? I don't know if we'll ever know the answer to that. But at this point in time, I see the whole world as nothing more than chess pieces that can all be bought with the unlimited accounts of the global elite banking cartel.
Very nice. Very nice.
They can print as much money as they want.
Yeah, very nice. Well, there's a really big issue I want us to address in terms of this declaring Easter Day to be a transgender day of visibility. I mean, this is just outrageous. We have a relatively prominent website saying, on Transgender Visibility Day, a special message from Joan Rivers. I'm delighted to see this. The Biden regime wants to call Easter Sunday Transgender Visibility Day. I figured I'd play along for just a moment. I thought we're going to draw visibility to trannies. There's no one better to deliver the message than Joan Rivers. They want this absolutely wiped off the internet. Well, I saved it. And it's now safe on Rumble, where it can't be taken down. Do you remember what Joan Rivers said right before she suddenly dropped dead? What she said about Obama?
I should do very well because I don't charge.
And do you think that the country will see the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Got it.
No, Michelle.
Apologies, I hit the wrong button. Let's go again. Here I go.
Is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh. It's okay.
Let me play that again for those who missed.
I should do very well because I don't charge.
And do you think that the country will see the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Got it.
No, Michelle is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh. It's okay. She does this.
And it continues. I mean, this article is actually pretty good. Then she dropped dead days later when she was perfectly healthy. You know, this makes Joan Rivers' death even more suspicious. She called her Michelle a tranny. How long after that did she die? It was totally unexpected and quite suspicious. Look, folks, this isn't. She isn't the only one who thought this. It's pretty common knowledge. Take a look. And here's Renee on Twitter. You know, this makes Joan Rivers' death even more suspicious, talking about it. And there are numerous others who are tweeting. Another one. His real name is Michael LaVon Robinson. Some jokes write themselves. And here you have Michel sitting like a man with his legs spread, and you have Justin Trudeau with his legs crossed like a woman. Some jokes they say right to themselves. I like it. I like it. I like it. And there's a whole lot more they got here. Stormy, true Stormy Joe Wright, Build Back Better, Michelle Obama, Joe Biden, showing a comparison of the back of a woman and the back of a man. And it's obvious which back has Michelle Obama. Brian, go ahead. Give us some preliminary thoughts of yours. There's a lot more here.
I was told very early on after Barack Obama was elected that Michelle was a tranny. I have a friend who is another sort of highly recognized investigator, and he told me that one of his good friends that was in the Secret Service saw her peeing standing up, knew that she was a tranny, and he reported it to me, and that was the very first time I ever heard of it. That was probably around 2010. And, of course, I've been looking into it ever since, and I've seen more and more evidence that indicates that that's the case. The question is why? What is it about the transgenders that makes them easier to control or easier to
control? Hold that thought. We'll be right back after this break with Brian Davidson and Keith Rogers. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And of course, we have many photographs that show that Michelle has a package that most women do not have. Maybe he forgot his tuck-friendly undies that day. We got any time the author covers Barack Obama, his brother, Malik. He comments about Big Mike. And it's most definitely newsworthy when Hussein, that's Barack Hussein Obama, own brother, keeps making these posts and he posted this picture with no comment. Joy Michelle coming in a strapless gown and the breadth of the shoulders and the musculature. You can garner whatever conclusion you want from that image, but it does appear as though Michelle is towering over Hussein and that she has better delts than I could ever hope to have. People took to Twitter to post their own replies. Here are some of them. Well, they're pretty fascinating, good stuff. We all remember what happened to Joan Rivers, needless to say. More. Keith, let me get your thoughts about this.
Well, I have to laugh at a lot of this because sex is a political tool. And it's no different than Macron and his estranged teacher, which is supposed to be female, raised three children, but is now a man. And all. I mean, they've done this for eons now to be able to control everyone. Same thing with Pete Buttigieg, all this stuff. You know, now we have the P. Diddy thing down there in California coming out, and it's supposed to be linked to the Epstein. It's just, you know, but what gets me is how people are attacked over this, because growing up, I knew one or two people that you, in our day, we called it might be a little bit queer, you know? And of course, back then it was, hey, whatever floats your boat like that, you know, but today it's quite a bit different. And then now with years of these GMOs and stuff like that, and suddenly this transgender movement, you start wondering, like, are these guys being genetically altered or something like that? Because I mean, you're seeing, like, on these pride events and stuff like that, thousands of people out there on the street. It's like, you know, I can't believe that these were all closet people growing up and stuff like that, you know. But Russia has just designated the LGBT movement as a terrorist organization. And I'd like to remind you that our kosher congressman, Jamie Raskin, has said that Russia is an Orthodox Christian country with the traditional social values, and for that reason, it must be destroyed, no matter what the cost to us. And then what's odd is he says this is jihad. I've never heard a Jew talk about the word jihad before in that reference like that. And just like you go on to Google, like that, look up Tel Aviv. It's the gay capital of the world. And I don't care about what people do in their own private bedrooms and stuff like that, but when you get 250,000 Jews out there celebrating pride stuff in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, and then tell me that that's God's country or the God's holy land, I have to have a little speculation of doubt. So,
all that is good stuff, but you're not appalled that we could have a first lady who's actually a man posing as a woman as a form of fraud and deception on the American people, don't you believe? I despise liars, phonies, and frauds, and I've gone after this issue hammer and tong because I believe it's so outrageous.
Jim, I do, but the other what I'm trying to say, though, is with the amount of this so-called LGBT stuff like that, the White House is the least to worry about, because think of what the medical industry is going to be doing. You're talking about promoting a lifestyle that brings disease and stuff like that with it. The tax on the social programs of medical treatment, stuff like that, as they keep pushing this, the White House is going to be, or France or anyone else is going to be the least of our problems like that, because they're already talking about cutting social programs for Social Security and stuff like that to pay other bills. What's going to happen when they start having this mass outbreaks of, say, HIV and stuff like that? Because they're pushing a lifestyle. And this goes right up to the White House. You've seen those photos of Biden there on Pride Day in his glorious outfit and stuff like that. Why is it that? Well, it's to destroy the culture, you know, right back to what Brian was saying earlier.
I want to return to Brian because it seems to me on Easter Sunday, the most sacred day in Christianity, you come out declaring it to be Pride Visibility Day, and he added that they wouldn't allow any Easter eggs that had overtly religious symbolism, coloring, decoration. Brian, I find this extraordinarily offensive.
Well, the Christian church are the ones that actually care about offending God. There's a big separation between church and state here in America on purpose, and it was built that way. Easter is a corrupt event, and bunnies, fertility, you know, running around, eggs, you know, spring colors. That has nothing to do with Christ rising from the dead on Sunday morning after Good Friday. There's been a lot of corruption. Santa Claus has nothing to do with Christmas, the birth of Christ. The dates don't correspond. They more correspond to ancient festivals anyway. And so you're really talking about a small group of people that actually care that God is offended versus the very large portion of the population that just simply goes to church because it's Easter and it's the right thing to do. As the late, great Keith Green said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger, and that's exactly right. Now, as for why this day, well, they're taunting God. They're taunting righteousness, and I do believe that with their old Baphomet. By the way, this is none of this is new. This has been around for a long, long time in order, you know, corrupt, destroy religion, destroy faith, destroy people who recognize God's role in this world and righteousness and offend, continue to offend God. They think if they can get the evil levels up in society high enough that they can usher in their antichrist, they're trying to brainwash the next generation into being so confused and mindless that they'll simply do whatever they're told or go whichever direction the wind blows. But this is the product and the result of liberalism. Remember, conservatives look back on their parents, look back on the founding of the nation. For 150 years, the pilgrims were here in this nation. Most people heard over 7,000 sermons in their lifetime. The churches were the ones that drove the Declaration of Independence and established America. All 209 founding fathers were Christians. From that level, we have fallen in less than 200 years. And just like the Romans came apart from the inside as a result of homosexuality and depravity, expect that America will come apart the same way. These lessons are old. This history is old. It doesn't surprise me.
What?
And I think that a guy by the name of Jonathan Cahn, a Hebrew that wrote a lot of, he's a Messianic Hebrew, but he wrote a book called Return of the Gods, probably hits the nail on the head in terms of why the transgender, because they're trying to bring in a particular God.
Well, you mentioned the goat god. You mentioned the goat god, Brian, who, of course, has the breasts of a woman, but the male equipment and female equipment alike. And I think that Michelle is kind of an exemplification. And this effort for transgenderism is at least part driven by the Obamas, who are very weird, wanting to feel more normal by normalizing transgenderism. And it's absurd. I mean, the idea of Transgender Visibility Day, that transgenders have more visibility in our culture than any other group you could name. So this is just absurd in my judgment. Brian, then Keith.
Well, if you think of the heavenly battle, it makes a lot of sense. Transgender visibility on the day that Christ rises, they're pissed. They're upset. They're trying to offend God. They want God to see what they've done to society, what they've managed to achieve with the power that he's given them. They're trying to offend God, and they've done a good job. It's one of God's most offensive areas of concern has always been the homosexual area, the degrading of sexuality in terms of men and women. If you look through your Bible, you'll see that these are the evil ways to offend God to the highest level. And so to take man, make a mix between man and woman instead of keeping them separate is an area of great offense. And this is basically the old giving the bird to God.
Giving the bird to God, indeed. Yes. Keith, go ahead. Keith.
Yeah, you know, as I said before, growing up, we knew a few people. It might be a little bit queer or something like that. But, as you know, it's whatever you did was in your home and stuff. And I don't like to apologize for anyone, but Obama's my fifth cousin. And he hasn't flaunted his lifestyle out there in the public and stuff. And so whatever is done behind doors, I wouldn't give a damn. However, the main thing is, like Brian mentioned here, when you start destroying a culture, and there has been so many videos here lately about the fall of Rome, and we've lost our cuisine, we've lost our art, Antifa BLM's destroying the statues, you know. We're looking at a massive decline in America here, and I hate to say this, it's not just America, because all over the world, your Stop Oil groups are throwing paint and stuff on paintings, oil paintings, get it, oil paintings, you know. They're gluing themselves to highways and stuff. And, of course, they're taking out iconic bridges, you know what I'm getting at. It's all an attack on the actual culture or what used to be of America. There's that one 1974 video which depicts America when I remember the era. It was so industrialized. We had strong union jobs. We had 40-hour work weeks, paid health care, overtime, sick leave, vacation leave, pregnancy leave. That's all gone. But it was your U.S. corporations that did that. They're the ones that fired off Americans, sent our labor over to China, Malaysia to make our shirts and stuff, Mexico to make air conditioners and stuff. All this stuff has been done by these global elite that own these massive corporations and stuff. China just happened to get in on the ground floor with under Reagan there, and then Clinton sealed the deal. Remember Lou Dobbs used to talk about NAFTA all the time. These were all warnings about what was coming, the superhighway and stuff, you know. The same thing with Trump saying that Nicaragua was an existential threat. Joe Biden said the same thing. Well, then you start looking at what Nicaragua was offering, and this goes clear back to the days of Contra. And it's because China is executing this, or was trying to execute this massive new canal there. Because why? Well, the Panama Canal is drying up, and so those massive export vehicles can't get through there, you know. But it's all commerce.
This Baltimore thing is going to have an effect on shipping worldwide, I have no doubt. Brian, would you care to comment on that and any other aspect of what we have here? It seemed to me
we already have a shipping problem. The ships have been backed up outside the ports, waiting in the ocean to get into each of the ports, the major ports, for quite a while. There's a large backup. They sit out there. They're spending money every day waiting to get their ships into port, to get everything off, shutting down Baltimore. That's a massive harbor. I'm not sure that it's the size of the Port of Houston, but it's a massive one. It's just going to continue to cause a deeper and deeper congestion, which is going to force everybody to work harder and work faster. There are people out there that will get rich off this event, and that's not just to do with the shipping. Think about all the contractors that are going to get rich reevaluating or rebuilding or restructuring all of the bridges. So to me, I always see this. Every time I see the Go Baltimore Strong, Uvalde Strong, you know, whatever strong, and then I start to add up how much money is going to have to get spent by the government and non-governmental organizations to restructure all of these security structures. So,
yeah, on that note, remember Janet Yellen said that by 2035, the national debt would be $50 trillion. Where's this money going?
We're putting on a trillion of debt every 100 days right now. We don't need 2050. Think about the value of money and the compounding factor. We need more like 2030.
Yeah, well, like I say, the amount of austerity that's coming is going to just shock people.
isn't national debt largely a function of interest on printing money
yes.
to the Fed? So that, you know, it seemed to me we could declare a jubilee, a holiday, and just vacate the national debt, period. Boom, it's gone.
It's all monopoly money anyway.
Yeah, it's all imaginary. It's just a phony baloney scheme to manipulate the public. Brian.
Well, I'm not sure that the boys over at the Mises Institute would say that we could erase it. Think about all the outstanding bonds that people own and investors own that have put their money into. What is debt? It's bonds that have been issued to people, a guarantee of repayment at a low interest rate, and these bonds are all over the place. I believe China owns something like, or last I heard, they own something like 25% of all U.S. Treasury bonds. So if they were to go nuclear and cash them in, we'd have to come up with 20% of the value of that, or 25% of the value of that trillions of dollars overnight. So all that theory is one thing, but it's all sort of the Janet Yellen and all of the rest of the people that aren't, and you know, what race is she, that are controlling how all this debt is juggled and financed. You know, there's a lot to talk about in terms of how to restructure a society after a crash, but what's going to have to ultimately happen is that there's going to be a day where there's a crash. It's going to be a blackout. They're going to come back out with a restructuring and a central bank digital currency that's going to be issued to each person that agrees to comply with the new standards of society. Those are the ones that are going to be able to buy and sell and trade, and the rest of them are going to be stuck in the outer limits trying to have plant seeds and water their gardens without electricity.
Well, we haven't been talking about it, but all the lawsuits against Trump are just falling apart. Such an obvious attempt to interfere with the election and campaign, but it's failing completely and utterly. He's ahead nationally by a 4 or 5 point margin over Biden. He's ahead in all six of the swing states by 4 to 2 points. So what are they going to do? I want to get your anticipation, Keith, first you and then Brian, as to where we stand now in terms of domestic politics and where we're going. Will we even have an election in November?
Well, I have an idea on that. And remember, Jim, I don't vote. But anyway, Trump, remember, he restored the Albert Pike statue. Albert Pike is notorious for saying that when they need a hero, we'll supply them with one. I'm of the mind here where it doesn't matter what charges they level against or levy, I should say, against Trump, because it's just like the Jews saying, give us Barbaros. Trump stands for nationalism, and this is what they have been trying to destroy all over. They want to destroy Russian nationalism. They've destroyed it all throughout Latin America through the CIA and their ventures and their covert wars. They want to get rid of anything that ties people to their homeland, their own culture, as Brian has brought out, and they want to build us into this new world order. Again, as Brian mentioned there with the Bible and all that, we have Harari out there that talks about AI and about rewriting the Bible to make it more tolerant of other people and stuff. And that's not what Scripture says. Hate is justified scripturally by the Bible. You're supposed to hate what is wicked. You know, if you started loving what was wicked, well, and I know you're agnostic there, Jim, but the point is I hear you so many times quote the scriptures. It's like, well, you know, it's got to be a little hint of belief. And I'll tell you a story here. I'll make it fast. I was in our ministry once, and I talked to a guy there, and I says, can I share a scripture with you? And he said, sure. He says, I was a bishop for 30 years. And I says, oh, really? And I said, well, on top of that, I says, can I ask you a personal question then? He says, yeah. I says, can you name me one man of God in the Bible that ever retired from serving God? He told me to get the F off his property. It had become a vocation for him. It was just a job. And that's where some people today are with their religions and stuff, you know. There's a lot of fallacy in today's religions. They can't even keep their congregation members together. And I was going to mention this earlier when I look across the video platforms, whether it be BitChute or whatever like that, you know, all these religious videos coming out there about, oh, the end is near and stuff. You know, where were these guys 30 years ago that would have kept this country together through their high morals, their high standards of living and stuff. But now it's only sudden when they're at the crosshairs of seeing their whole economy, their world being shattered, that suddenly they're turning to God. Is that kind of hypothetical, you know, of what Christianity has become today?
Brian.
Well, I couldn't agree more in terms of what Christianity is today. Make no mistake about it. Christianity is not an institution. And this is something I've been taking a lot of hits for in the comments on what I've been saying. Christianity is not an institution. How do I corrupt an institution? By the way, if I'm looking to corrupt the rest of this world or this whole world, I'm going to start with the institution, because it's easier to put my guy in at the top so that my policies can float downhill to all of the sub-organizations within the institution. Government is nothing more than an institution, and a lot of churches are nothing more than institutions. I can tell you this, 325 AD, Council of Nicaea, one of their canons that everybody agreed on, number 6, was that there would be no pope. Yet we have a pope at the top of that Roman-style institution of Catholicism. Why is it an institution? Because it's easier to control from the top down. And I do believe that institutions can be corrupted. Now, on the other hand, who are Christians? Christians are people that recognize God is who he said he is. That Jesus, when he said, before Abraham was, I am, he's representing himself as God. We believe in him. We've subscribed to certain basics about his identity. Now, that is a cellular structure. And this is what they're after. They've got all the institutions. What they don't have are the cellular, patriotic Americans, very similar to the 209 founding fathers, who were thinking independently, operating independently, working independently. And it was the churches and what was taking place in the churches that was driving the new chatter for how we should break loose and form our own new government and break loose. So I believe in the church, not as an institution, but in the church as the cellular men and women on their knees in a proper position. And the Bible says if those people have faith the size of a mustard seed, they can move mountains. There is a remnant left in America. That remnant is going to be powerful, but we're not looking forward to the salvation of America. We would love to see that because that's our nation in terms of where we put our bodies, but our souls are upstairs. And we're a different breed of cat. You can't corrupt.
Let me ask a final question here, Keith.
Yeah.
Are we going to have an election in 2024? Is Biden going to be the nominee of the Democratic Party? Who will prevail if an election takes place, Keith?
Well, if it's anything like Zelensky, like now, he just canceled their election. So that's a dictatorship over there. So I don't think there's going to be one here. But I wanted to capitalize on one thing that Brian said. The kingdom is within you. Everything is written in your hearts. Jesus himself said that no one can come to me unless the Father himself called him. But this is the remnant, as Brian mentioned, is those that will that function unabashed from what the look at what the Catholic Church is doing today. You know, they're basically siding with the globalists and stuff like that. But real Catholics and stuff that believe in the Bible, the scriptures, they don't go along with that stuff. And this is where it gets down to individuality there. And that's, again, why they're going after the individuals. They have to break the individual down to get them to go along. It's no different than torture or anything else like that. So, but again, Jim, as far as that, I don't think there's going to be an election.
Brian.
I do think they're going to continue to play it. They're going to run it just like they ran 2020. They're going to fix it. It's going to be rigged. They're going to install whoever they install. The question is whether or not I think Joe Biden's going to be running. And I've been sort of paying attention to it. Look, how many Joe Bidens have they cycled in and out? They can do it again. The mainstream media will go with it. Nobody's going to notice. Nobody's going to care. People are too stupid. They take their information from the television, and they're just willing to go along with whatever. It's only the outlying people. The question is whether or not we will be silenced in whatever play they choose to run. And another question is, do we believe, look, I believe Trump is there and he's dividing the top level of the pyramid. I think he's making progress in terms of breaking up something that's taking place at the top of the Jews. Otherwise he wouldn't have that resistance. But he's working with them He's working. He talked about the other day about protecting the tranny community. There's a lot of things I'm deeply concerned about taking place, but I believe that he's taking an approach where he's trying to divide the power brokers into camps that he can control. Whether or not he'll be successful, I do not know. Whether or not that those camps of power brokers will allow him into place, I do not know.
Those are very shrewd observations, Ron. Just to offer a third point of view, I do believe the massive opposition at Trump tells us he actually cares about America. He can do us some good, that he is a nationalist, that he's opposed to globalism, and he actually believes in human beings and life. I think those are true of Trump. Notwithstanding his making many concessions to Israel over the years, which have troubled me profoundly, I do believe in his heart of hearts. He really does want to make America great again. I do believe he has an agenda, including Schedule F, that allows him to gut the senior executive service, where we have a vast number of bureaucratic employees who are playing policy shaping and decision-making roles they're not entitled to make, and he has a way to get rid of them. Surprise, surprise, I believe he's actually going to prevail. They're not going to be able to pull off the same kind of theft of the election they have in the past. Brian Davidson, Dean Rogers, I thank you both. You're terrific. Everyone out there, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left. And support Revolution.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Recording stopped.
Join me in the Brian Rue Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Rue Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.